shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. And yea, though I walk through the valley, shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
this on Facebook or anything, are we?
No, it's just
okay.
The live stream.
That's fine. That'll be good. Okay. Ready?
Yep.
Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to For Zion's Sakes Ministries here in Bristol, Virginia. We're across the state line, about a mile, something like that. So we welcome this morning to our Shabbat service. Also, we say bless the United States. Today's the 250th anniversary of our liberty, and we're going to talk just a little bit about that at the end of the service. But we have a different service this morning. Rabbi Joe and Rabbi Revitson and Carol Green are at the Messiah Conference and having a great time, and so we're going to fill in. It is a holiday today, so everything's closed. And so if you come to Shabbat, we're open. We're open, which is good. We don't close unless we have a computer problem or something. We still have Shabbat, though. We didn't know. So we're going to start off this morning with Shabbat Shalom. And I'm not a singer, okay?
I don't sing.
I spent my music money on pop.
Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Okay, we'll do the blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lechadar ha-Shiach Mashiach Yeshua, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua, amen. And now we're going to pray for Jerusalem. Remember the land of Israel, and if you pray for the land of Israel, because they definitely need our prayers and our support financially. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning on Shabbat, and we ask that you'll bless the land of Israel, bless the Jewish people there, bless the Messianic congregations that are having service today, Lord. Bless the rabbis, the leaders, the people that play the music, the dancers. We pray that they'll have a great service today, Lord. Those that are in the Messiah Conference in Pennsylvania, we pray that you will bless them today and their services that they have today. And I think they've canceled the 4th of July celebrations, but maybe they'll be able to have some type of a celebration. We ask that you'll bless them. Bless our leaders that are gone to the conference, that you will bless them there. Bless them as they travel home. Give them safe passage. We ask that you bless all the Jewish people. Bless the people in the United States that are Jewish. Bless those that are... Turn to people's hearts, Lord, that are anti-Semitic against the land of Israel, against the Jewish people. We pray today, Lord, that they will open their eyes, Lord, just like the Jewish people who don't believe in Yeshua, that they will see what is wrong and what God is asking them to do, that they will no longer confront the Jewish people and want to destroy the land of Israel or the Jewish people. We pray for your blessings on this service today, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. If you'll stand, we will do the Shema. Just bear in mind, we have a very condensed service this morning. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malhuto Leoam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen. Okay, we're going to take up this morning's offering. If you're online, you can press the button that's out there to make a contribution, if you would. If you can, we would appreciate that. So I'll pray for the offering, and we'll take a couple minutes for that to take place. So we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Once again, Lord, we thank you for your Shabbat, that we're able to come into your Shabbat today, Lord, to worship you. We pray that you'll bless the offering that we receive today. Bless gift and giver, Lord. Give us a good measure, pressed down and shaken together. And may our cups runneth over, Lord, as you bless those that bless you in your house. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. We're going to have some. Do what? Yep, you can. We're going to have the worship service right now.
Come on.
from the Torah, today's drosh for this Shabbat, and it's called Pinchas, and it means mouth of brass. And you know, anytime that in the Torah a parsha is named after a particular person, there's significant emphasis why God would name it after a person rather than part of the scripture. And it's usually what is named after is like the first couple words of the first sentence of the parsha. But today it's called Pinchas, and it's from Numbers chapter 25 verses 10 through chapter 30 verse 1. The half Torah is 1 Kings chapter 18. In the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, is Romans chapter 5 verses 11 through 32. This week we observe the fast of Tammuz, which was on July the 2nd. And what is the fast of Tammuz? Because it precedes, first of all, it was when Moses was accepting the two tablets of stone, and he was coming down the mountain, and he heard the commotion in the tents of the Israelites that were there, and they were worshiping. He observed they were worshiping a golden calf. And not only that, they were violating the commandment that God had put on the tablets of there are no other gods but me. I'm the only God. I am the Lord your God. And so they were observing it. They were, and 24,000 died because God's anger was exposed, and he destroyed over 24,000. And so on July the 2nd, we begin 3 weeks of mourning, which will culminate with the fast of Tish B'Av. And that is, Tish B'Av is the ninth of Av, and that is the day that the spies came back from the land of Canaan ten of them brought a bad report, and two brought a report back to Moses. The other ten that went gave a bad report, and they gave it back to the people. They didn't bring it to Moses. Instead, they took it to the people and said, we can't take this land. We're not able. We're not warriors. There's walled cities. There's giants in the land. They are soldiers who are trained with weapons and all that. There's great cities. We can't do it. But with the other two, Joshua, they knew that with God, they would be able to take the land. So that's why the ninth of Av is a day of great mourning in the Jewish areas, because of the fact a lot of bad things happened on the 9th of Av that happened around the world, like World War I started. They kicked my ancestors out of Spain and Japan. I'm sorry, kicked my ancestors out of Portugal and Spain right when Columbus was sailing. Columbus was Jewish. If he sailed right before midnight, because Queen Isabella had decreed that that she was casting the Jews out. So if he'd have waited, he would not have been able to have sailed to the New World, because he would not have been able to have commanded a ship from Spain, from Princess or Queen, I guess she was a Queen, Isabella. So that was on the 9th of Av also. So a lot of bad things happened. But this morning we see with Pinchas exactly who was Pinchas. He was the grandson of Aaron. He was a grandson of Aaron. And, you know, with Aaron and his descendants, they were given the priesthood, because prior to that, the firstborn in the families before the golden calf, they would become the priests. And so like the Kohenim of the families. But when this happened and they destroyed those people, God... The only tribe that joined with Moses and Aaron was the tribe of Levi. So God said, I will change this, and Aaron will be the one that will be, and his family, his descendants will be the Kohenim. It's interesting, because with Pinchas, he was a grandson of Eleazar, but he was not a Kohen or a priest, because that was extended at, for those that were born after God made this decree, this ruling, that it would be the family of Aaron. I'm sorry, of Moses, of Aaron's family, and it would be his descendants. And Pinhas was already born, so he wasn't in that lineage or that to be able to be say he is a priest. But we'll see what happened to him. And we see, you know, that he was a zealot. He was very involved in the things of God, we see. And he displayed great integrity and by killing a Jewish man and a pagan woman. That's what he did. He rose up with zeal in his heart, and he took a spear and he threw it as this Jewish man Zimri. He was from the tribe of Simeon, and the Jew, and the woman was, her name was Cosby, and she was not a believer. She worshipped idols. And so we see that the Jewish people were assuming the identity and the idolatry of Baal Peor, who was a pagan god of Moab and the Mennonites. And so that's where this woman was from. She was from that area, and she was with Zimri, and he was taking her to his tent, and they were interchanging. They were being involved with the women from Moab and the Mennonite women, because they were pagans, so they were stepping away from God into idolatry and worshiping those gods and being involved with the women that was involved in the worship of the pagan gods. And so he took a spear and he threw it, and the spear went through Zimri into Cosby, and it killed them both. He threw it with that force that it went through both bodies and killed both of them. And so we see, you know, they were bringing, these women were trying to induce the men to follow the pagans and get away from the God of Israel. That's what their purpose was. That's what they were doing. And so we see, you know, also with the spies, we see later on, that again was some of the Jewish people who were turning away from God because they doubted, even though they had seen the miracles that God had performed. The splitting of the Red Sea would have been enough for me to see something like that, because I just been to the ocean and I can't imagine it splitting, but God split the Red Sea. But they did not believe God. They didn't trust what God was saying, and so they suffered for that. But they began, when they killed these that died in the plague, they began to weep. The people began to weep because of what they had forgotten, the words that God had given them. God had given them the words that was the two commandments that God spoke to them. I am the Lord your God. There is no other gods before me. I am the only God. So when they involved Moab or Baal Peor, they were making them equal to God, or actually worshiping them and not God. So it became a real problem. They began to weep because they knew what they had done was wrong. But God said, I am the Lord your God. Have no other gods before me. That's true today. A lot of people, you know, they want to remove the Ten Commandments and all that, but you have to remember, with God's word, you can't remove God's word, because it's eternal. It will be there in heaven. It's not going away. It's not going, you, when you change it or alter it, you're defying what God has given us as a commandment. You're not to change his word, because it is eternal. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the feasts that we observe. Those are eternal. Those are things, when Yeshua comes and we have the 1,000-year reign, we will still observe Shabbat. We will still observe Kodesh Rodesh, the new moon and the changing of the calendar. All those things will still be done. God's word is not. I know a lot of people say, well, we're under grace now, and the Old Testament, it doesn't work. But they have to remember what God's word said. He says, in that day I will form a new covenant with the land of Israel and with the people. That's the people that are today. And I will put my Torah in their heart and on their lips. Well, what's in the Torah is the words of God. They're not the laws of God. A lot of people say laws, but they are the mitzvahs. A mitzvah is an instruction from God. It's how God is telling us to live our lives. So when you say, well, I'm under grace, and that is true, but the Old Testament and the laws of God are not gone. Just because you're under grace, that doesn't forgive you a free rein to do whatever you want to in your life. There's repercussions from sin, and a lot of people don't realize that. But there is repercussions from sin. So God's word is still there, and it can't be changed. And so what did God do for Pinhas after he showed such zeal for God? He made him a priest forever of Shalom. He was given the priesthood, even though he didn't come through the way God had ordered it to be done. That was on the descendants. He was already born. But God says, I am going to make him a priest of Shalom. He was called, he would give him what was called a Brit Kunat Olam. He was given him the priesthood forever. It's forever. It's not just for that, for his life, but his priesthood was forever. And when you read the Torah and you look at the word Shalom that's in this, he gave him the title of the Prince of Shalom. The Peace of Shalom is what he was giving him. And you see that with the word Shalom, it's four words that make it. It's the Shin, the Lamed, the Vav, and the Mem. The Vav is the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And one of the things about when they would write the Torah on the scroll, the word in Hebrew, the words had to be formed perfectly. Even though when you go look, you will see some words to emphasize certain things are made large, some are made small. But when you look in the Torah, the actual scroll, and you see the Vav, which is the sixth letter, you'll see that it is broken. And why would God break it? Because the people were broken. They had turned from God. It's the sixth letter of the Hebrew language, and it identifies a man, or a mankind, I'll say. So God says it's a shadow. What God is telling us, it is a shadow of brokenness. He's saying the people were broken because they turned from me, and it took the zeal of one man to turn my anger from me, from destroying the Jewish people. There were times I'm sure God could have just went in and wiped the whole group off. There were times, of course, if you look at the flood in Noah's time, that was the time God said that he didn't like the fact that he had created man, because man had gotten so far from sin. And it's the same actions that we see today in the world, because that was the words of Yeshua. As was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the second coming of the Son of God. A lot of people read by that. I know the rainbow's got a lot of other symbols that a lot of things take godly things and make them other things. But it's the fact that God is saying he won't destroy the earth by water again. But in Revelations, you see he destroys it by fire. So the destruction is coming. The United States is in the crosshairs of God's wrath, of God's judgment. It's coming, and it may be sooner than we think. And so Israel, they were broken. And so the plague was stayed because of Pinhas and his actions. And, you know, with Shalom means peace, but it also means to be made complete. You know, with Hebrew, the words, when you look at the Hebrew letters and the words, you get different meanings that relate back to the word. So the word just not means one thing. But with Shalom, it means peace, but it also means to be made complete, because when you are with God, God will make you complete in the day that you ascend to heaven, and at the day that he calls you home, you will be made complete on that day. And so they were in a bomb of repentance. And so, you know, today to receive Yeshua, you must You have to be broken. You have to have things in your life, sin in your life. Yeshua makes you complete when you accept him. And the only way to accept him is to believe in him and have faith and accept the fact that he died for you, and it's through his atoning blood that you receive forgiveness of sins, and also for the fact that he was resurrected from the grave. That means you have eternal life. That's why the Sadducees were so sad. They did not believe in life after death. They thought when you died, your life was over. The Pharisees, they believed in eternal life, and that's why they were called, I guess, Pharisees. But that's what it is. Isaiah 6:6, verse 2 says, we must be broken and humble ourselves in our spirit. God esteems those that are broken and that are tremble at the word of God. God's not trying to scare everybody, but I always tell people, you know, there's a day you can live your life however you want to, but you're making a decision. You have to make a decision, and you have two decisions, or one decision with two options you have to make, and that's one: do you want to go to heaven, or do you want to go to hell? And that's a decision. If you never accept him, then you've made the decision. You can't sit on the fence post, so to speak, and expect to fall off in heaven. It's got to take the blood. That's what God is looking for. Just like at Passover, he was looking for the blood on the door, and that told him to pass over those people. That's a direct thing from the scriptures that you can see of what God was saying. He was giving us the shadow of what was to come with his son and the blood on your heart when you believe. That's what the blood on Passover is for, to give us a shadow of the redemptive work that Yeshua would do years later. And so we see that today you have to be broken. See, and we also see, as moving just a little bit from this, but with this today, with this Torah portion, we see they were dividing the land in Israel. They were dividing it by inheritance, by lot. And there was a family, a man by the name of Zelophehad. He did not have a son, and the inheritance went to the men. The inheritance was divided to the families that had men. And so these five daughters did not receive their father's inheritance. And so they went to Moses and they asked. They said, we've not been given the portion of the land. Our father had no sons, and we are his daughters. And we would like to receive the inheritance that our father was entitled to. And so what happened, Moses went to God, and that happened. God gave them the inheritance. And so the Torah, the word of God, was changed at that point, because God says the inheritance can go to the women, to the daughters of Israel. And so that's what happened. And so God did change his word on that day. And he changed his Torah because he let those daughters, he says, the women can inherit the land just like the men if there's no men involved. So they received that. And, you know, with the Torah, it was those women who, it's the women who built Israel. If you look at the current situation in Israel, you see a lot of the women that are struggling in keeping the families together. And they're the ones, the women today, as the women of old, are still the women that are building Israel from the ground up. They're having families, they're building families, and they're the ones that are the strongholds of Israel, is the women. I think that's true in America. The women, the moms, and the women are the ones that build America. They're the ones that rock the cradle, so to speak. And so they're the ones that have made Israel great and are going and are continuing to do that. They're the ones that follow the sons that and the daughters that fight the war in Israel, because men and women both are called in Israel to serve 2 years in the military. So that's the sons and the daughters of from Zelophehad, his daughters that are still out there. They're still making Israel great. They're still building the military. And so that's why Israel is still our God has his hand upon Israel. And just to talk about the appointed times with God, and I want to speak just a moment about the 4th of July. I don't have much more to go on. But, you know, God has set appointed times. The appointed times was set before God ever created the earth. Things were set in place by God before. His word was in place. The scripture says his word was white lightning across black lightning. So God has created, set in place what he wanted to happen. And he set up appointed times. And it's like a daily appointed time. We have a daily appointed time to pray three times, morning, noon, and evening. We have the weekly Shabbat. That is an appointed time. And what's an appointed time? That is a appointment with God that we are to come and be a part, to be a part of God on that particular day, on the Shabbat. It's a weekly appointment that we have, an appointed time. And then we have the monthly. We have the Rosh Kodesh, which is the changing. It's the new moon, and it's the changing of the month. It's always done toward the end of the month. That way, the Hebrew months cross over into the regular Gregorian calendar months. In other words, like July has two, it counters 2 months, go from one to the other. There's 2 months there that crisscross because it changes in the middle toward the end of July. You get a new month, but it's still on our calendar. It's still July, and that's called Rosh Kodesh. That is an appointed time, and that's something that we'll observe in the Messianic reign of Yeshua. All those things will be appointed. What we're doing today, we're practicing what God has set in place. So we're practicing the Shabbat today, and we're going to practice the other feasts that are mentioned in the scriptures, especially in Leviticus. You can get a snapshot of all of that in one book. And God says, in that day, he says, he will, with the Shabbat, and he says, we will honor the Shabbat from one new moon to another. And he says, all flesh will come and worship before me, says the Lord. And he says, that will be forever. We don't realize forever. How long is forever? I don't know. I don't know how long forever is. But I heard a joke several years ago, and this guy was talking to God, and he said, can you loan me $1 million? And God thought for a second, for a minute or two, whatever. He said, sure, give me a second. So when you think of that, what's a second to God? He didn't tell him no. He just said, give me a second. And I'll, you know. But that's God. We don't know what. There is no end. I mean, it's hard to comprehend because we don't have that mentality. You have to understand when you're talking about eternity, how many years is it? Well, it's there is no years. It's forever. It's forever and ever. There's no date. There's no time. There won't even be any moon or stars or anything like that. No sun. His glory. And the glory of Yeshua will be the sun. And we have annual appointed times. We have Pesach, which is Passover. With Passover, we have the Feast of Matzah, unleavened bread. And we have the first fruits of the barley. That's the Passover. Then we go to Shavuot. That is the renewal of the covenant. That's what we see about the rainbow. Isaac was born. And the Torah was given to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai on Shavuot. Then we go to the fall months. We have Yom Tuwah, the Feast of Trumpets, which tells us about the new year. It also tells us about the judgment. Then we have Yom Kippur, and that is the unveiling of the veil that would have been with Passover when Yeshua died. The veil was torn. It was torn not from the bottom to the top because that would have been too easy. It was several feet thick, so it wasn't something that you could just like tearing a sheet of paper. It had God tore it in his anguish and his the loss of his son, having to put him through all that he tore it from the top to the bottom. And it took, in reading, it took over 200 people to lift the veil up to where it covered the Holy of Holies. So you can see how heavy and also how thick it was. But God tore it. Why did he tear it? To show his what about his son dying and his love for his son and his love for us, because he did it for us. And so that's why it was torn, because now you don't have to have anybody pray for you to the Father. You can go straight to Yeshua. You can speak straight to Yeshua. You don't have to have any intermediary to pray for you, to take your sins and offer them before God, like the priest did. That's what went away. The priest, you had to go and confess your sin. You had to take your lamb as an example, and you had to confess your sins on, and you had to put your hands on the lamb's head, and you had to confess your sins, and then the priest would sacrifice the lamb and take the blood and throw it on the altar. But that's what Passover, and you see all these all fold, flow together, and they all lead back. Everything leads back to Yeshua and what he did. And then we have the Feast of Sukkot. That's in the fall of the year. That's the great ingathering that we'll observe. It's a time of judgment. And then we have the Simchat Torah, which is the eighth day. You've heard me say it many times. The eighth day is not on the calendar. That's a day that God says, how about staying an extra day with me and let's fellowship? And that's when we re-roll the Torah scroll back here and we start back over at Genesis 1, the book of Bereshit. So God has everything in place for us. All we have to do is believe in his son to get to heaven and to get to the end time when Yeshua will come. That's my take on it today for this Torah portion. Sorry for rattling these around, but I wanted to just say a little bit about America and the 250th birthday. It doesn't seem, I can remember when we celebrated 200 years, and it seems like that was like a couple months ago, or years maybe. But it's been 50 years. America is now 250 years. But America is great because of the Jewish guy that gave money to George Washington to fund the Revolutionary War, so that America was able to break the bondage of England and to make America free. But one of the things to me about freedom is not, when we say freedom, it's not really free. Freedom is very costly. And I think freedom is paid for by names that you will never know. And long before 1776, the Heavenly Father required a Messiah, someone to save us, to redeem us. And that was God's son, Yeshua. And so we are redeemed from the curse, which is in Galatians 3, verse 13. In John 13, verse 1 says, he loved us to the full. If the Son makes you free, then you are free indeed. That's what John chapter 8, verse 36 says. If you're free, if you're in Messiah, then you are free indeed. To whom much is given and is expected to bring more. The world is very hostile. God requires much of us. He requires our time, our efforts, our worship, our prayers, our finances. He expects us to finance and to fund. That's a part of a blessing. God can't give you a blessing if you keep your hands closed. You got to open your hands to get the blessing. So if you give to the synagogue, God wants us to support. God doesn't need our money, believe me, but he wants to bless us because we give back to him in gratitude to keep the things of God still in operational, that the lights are on, the air conditioning's on, the water's on, the bathroom works. And the building's clean, the grass has been mowed. All of those things are part of God that he requires us to maintain. And so the world is hostile. It's getting more hostile. We can see, as in the days of Noah, where the world is at today. So all who live godly, Yeshua has suffered for that person. He suffered in, it says it in 2 Timothy 3, he took our sins upon him because he knew no sin. But God said he always required something innocent to be sacrificed for the guilty, for the sins. And so that's why God chose his son. So that's my 250 take on that. I mean, America's a great place, but we have a long way to go. And I'm not sure we're going to get there, but, you know, so many people are turning from God. But it's a time on the 4th of July to not only reflect on those that have served and those names that we don't know that have caused it to happen, created it to happen, but we also need to realize that Yeshua is the reason that we're here today, too. That's the ultimate freedom that we have is in him. So that's the take for today. I wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom and have a great day. I'll say the Kohanim blessing, and then we will disperse. And next week we'll have a regular service, okay? Rabbi Revitson and Carol will be back, and hope you'll be back. And so thank you all for coming today, being it's a holiday. Most everything's closed. A lot of people at the lake, you know, doing their own thing. But Shabbat, we're here. there's a reason for Shabbat. So we're here, and we're thankful for that. So if you'll stand, I'll say the Kohanim blessing. You are Adonai, Adonai Beresh Mareka. Yo Adonai Panabaleka. Vikunika Isa Adonai Panavaleka Vaya Simlika Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we bless you today. And we say Shabbat Shalom and happy 250th birthday, 4th of July. Thank you. God bless you all. Thanks for coming today.